Morning, guys and girls, and welcome to the Naked Football Show once again. And if you want to email in, please do, because we haven't got that much to talk about with Tan. studio@icrfm.co.uk. During the week or at any other time, nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk, which is a slightly new address which we started this season. It's just easier to access, that's all. And you can text us on 0779780712. In the studio today, we're rather thin on the ground due to a collapse in our squad numbers for various reasons. But we do welcome back Mr. David James.
Good evening.
And of course, joining me as usual is Mr. Joe Ward.
Hello again.
Hello, Joe.
We'll take any subject.
Who used to do a comedy show on this station, didn't you?
I did.
So we can now talk about that.
I used to do a new music and comedy show on a Sunday night.
Well, why do you not do that anymore?
It just ran its course, I felt, creatively. And
you were creatively shattered.
By the end of it, I thought we were rehashing a lot of old stuff, and I thought, yeah, about time to give it a rest.
Yeah.
But it might come back, you never know.
Okay. Well, talking about rehashing old stuff, let's talk about football, shall we? Right, do you want to talk about England or anything? Anyone interested remotely about England?
Is it wrong to say no?
It's not wrong to say no. I think the crowd last night proved it was not wrong to say no at all.
Give me a year 2012 next year, I'll glory hunt, I'll absolutely, celebrate with us as a country, and when everybody else who absolutely hates football, where's Coronation Street? Why is England playing? Will then suddenly become England fans. And I love football. Football's passion, but with England, I've lost that desire.
Especially friendlies.
So
meaningless friendlies.
When we have a tournament and we all go over the top and we all go mental, I will with everybody else, but I'm not bothered, to be honest.
No.
I think Spain had a similar attitude as well. I think they came in thinking, well, you know, the squad that they put out was one of the best you'll ever see.
Yes.
At Wembley. The Spain starting 11 is just ridiculous now.
Yeah.
It's to the point where it's so fluid, it's so talented that I think they could pretty much take apart, and they've proven by the Swiss that they can take apart pretty much any team in the world. But I think they still had a handbrake on. They had something there that was, you know, it wasn't the same Spain that you'd see in a tournament. And given the dues, England pegged them back at some stages and got the goal, typically English in a set piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And got a win. It's something that I don't think many people had thought would happen before the game. Certainly many pundits didn't think it. But a win's a win. But then again, it throws up the debate of would you rather win ugly or go out playing ridiculously nice football? And I don't know whether that transpires into Ipswich as well.
We won the game, but it was a no-win situation.
Yeah.
Shows we're just nowhere near. We're not going to win anything ever, are we? But it was expected to lose. We've beaten them. Well, we can beat them. We should be up there. Yeah. You can't win either way. So,
no. I'm an England fan. I'm very like you, David. Come the important tournaments, I'll be there.
Yes,
we are brilliant. You know, but at the moment, I was actually hoping Spain would win. Actually, just because their football is so brilliant to watch.
I hate glory hunting football. I support my local team.
I'm proud of that, and
I'll fly that flag.
Yeah.
But Barcelona on TV, I've become a bit of an armchair fan, to be fair.
Oh,
they're on TV.
Same here.
Because they are so good to. And Spain, obviously, are Barcelona, give or take a couple of players.
That rubbish player, Messi up front.
It just goes to prove, you know, one player actually came out with the best comment after the game, Mr. Fabregas, England played defensive football. Well, again, he's trying to insult,
with the rugby
comment, and actually it was a backhanded compliment. But even he's playing, because the team and the players he's playing alongside now gives the freedom to play beautiful football, whereas when he was playing over in England at Arsenal, he was the main man, and of course everybody stopped him from playing. So, yeah, but with England, it's just there's not that passion for it, I'm afraid. Come the tournament, yeah.
Absolutely.
And Sweden last night was very such a strange game.
I gave up once. England scored and that was as much as I could take, and then I just went to the pub. What happened after that? I know the score, but what was
I got sort of a bit angsty and was looking forward to doing the washing up. It came to that. It was a dull affair, and I don't know how ITV can get as excited as they do. I don't know where these people are that write into Clive Tiltley and say, look, thanks for the commentary this week, absolutely superb, more again next week. I had a friend that used to work at ITV, and she was telling me that, you know, when they come in on a Monday morning, the amount of emails that she would get in the customer services department, you know, saying, what is going on with your football coverage? You know, we really don't like the way it's done, but...
Well, at least we got to see the goals this time. They didn't switch over to adverts.
So. Well, exactly. Yeah. But, I don't know, the whole ITV thing and the Tilsey trying to make everything so big and so massive and so vitriolic, so passionate...
I suppose he has to, though, doesn't he? That's his job, really.
Yeah, but it doesn't come with a certain sort of underlying intelligence to it.
No.
It's the usual mix of... you know, English grit and determination, let's go and fight them. And then sort of dumbfounded, unintelligent comments like having a go at Zlatan Ibrahimovic, saying that he's, you know, for all that he looks like a good player, he doesn't do it against English teams. Well, so, well, when you win your league in four different countries, then you've got nothing to prove on a stage with a Swedish team, which, you know, all credit to them, they're not a great team. They're certainly not as good as the Swedish teams we've seen back in, you know, like 94, 96, when they're ranked top five in the world. But that's my ITV rant out the way, really.
We could have a whole show on ITV.
But as you said, at least we get to see the football. And I don't know whether that's why they keep trying with this you know, team of Childs and Tilsley and Roy Keane that looks about 15, 16. He looks 30 years younger than how he looked when he was at Ipswich. It's incredible. I think it's possible because they don't have the volume of games to show, so they can't
switch it
up. I'm
surprised to actually have Roy, because Roy won't just go along with the whole positive line all the time. He actually does make some negative comments or does have some criticisms, and they just... It's
pop boss. Calling the kettle back. Someone like Roy Keane criticising. Good grief. Anyway, but it's saying that about Roy Keane.
It's two decent wins, and it's and you know, when the results come like that, you can't fault them. You can't say that, you know, England got beat or they looked tired or anything like that. No, it's a squad game.
They've been stuck in this rut for quite a few years, where the expectation is they're still a top 10, top 5 team in the world, and then we always just fail. Just miss out on things. But we've never been at any point the best team in the world in the last 20, 30 years.
No.
We've always been in that kind of bracket. So we've got no right to win stuff, but...
The trouble is, I think...
We should be competing.
Yeah, and when you look at teams like Spain, and like when Barcelona walked all over Man United in the Champions League last year, you think England could be second in the world, but they're still miles away from someone like Spain.
And these teams, that they don't even get out of first gear when they play them. Because the retention of the ball and the control that they have, they don't need to.
And saying England were defensive, I mean, I don't think England had any choice.
No,
they were just pushed back into their own area almost.
We fail to learn though on numerous occasions, and I think that was one of the bigger negatives for me with the Spain result. Is now that we know that when we face a big team, that's how we're going to work out. We're going to be defensive. We're going to play in the break. We'll work for set pieces. And for me, that's not really how I want to see my England team playing. No. I want to see them strong. I want to see them quick. I want to see them play brilliant football. And I want to see them, you know, dominate a team to the point where it's so clear that England are the best team and this is the way to play football. We didn't learn. I don't think we'll learn after the Spain result. I think we'll still go back to playing that way when we meet bigger teams in tournaments. We failed to learn after, you know, Euro 2000 when we got knocked out, and you know, even the Germans went back to the drawing board. They brought in a load of young players. They looked at people like, and now they're, you know, progressing with, you know, Müller, and you've got Özil and stuff like that. Whereas we won't learn.
They won like the under 21s, and then the next year when they won the World Cup, there was about five or six of those under 21 players in the squad and playing in the team.
Yeah.
A year later, were part of the World Cup squad that won it. So.
It's a simple ethos, isn't it? It's hang on to the ball. They keep the ball better than anyone else in the world, and then they harry it down again when they do lose it. You know, it's Barcelona. It's
like Barcelona people forget. They're beautiful on the ball. They're even better off the
ball. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a simple ethos. Very difficult to achieve, of course, but absolutely.
It's the way England and Ipswich used to play.
Well, Ipswich did used to play fairly similar. That was
not that long ago either.
Well, 80.
But do you think it's going to be another
30 years ago?
Well, Burnley's teams did progress to
that
stage.
Well, they did start playing,
As the team progressed each year over that, you know, 4 or 5 years.
So do you think it's going to be another case of second round, quarter final woes for England? Because personally, I don't think we're at that stage where we can get past the best teams.
Our problem is we always get to the point where we improve each game, we limp out of the group, we start to improve, and we get to a point where we just don't quite improve enough. Whereas if we'd made to the final, we'd be at full throttle and we'd be fine.
Yeah.
We never.
It's funny.
We'll
these
get knocked out before we get to.
Well, these tournaments are ridiculous because, I mean, like, Greece the other year when they won, was it the Euros? And they started off, they were almost hardly got through their group. They scraped through. England, didn't we beat them in the first thing? And then they end up winning it. And it's teams that gradually get better. Whereas England start off reasonably well, usually. Qualified, usually, sometimes quite comfortably, and then gradually, you know, they peak too early. This is why I go back to that old thing which I've rabbited on about for years about Denmark coming off the beach, you know.
Yes.
In the 82 World Cup, or whatever it was. Nothing to lose. They hadn't done any, no training, no friendlies, and they won it. So, that's what I say, And talking of England, it brings us neatly to Ipswich, because this academy thing is based on trying to get our England team to be the best in the world. Not that any club fan is interested.
It is following the example of what the French did, which then came to fruition in 98 and 2000, and what the Spanish have done and what the Germans have now done, which is really concentrating on the youth and hopefully bringing through a crop of youngsters that get the best exposure and get the best chance with the you know, like the National Football Centre, which David Sheepshanks is in charge of at Burton, and these proposed changes to the academy system, which the football league clubs have sort of had their arms twisted to vote for, because they won't receive money from the Premier League teams if they didn't vote for it. And Ipswich was one of the clubs that did actually vote against the system.
So do you, I don't know how much Joe knows about this, but it's all a bit complicated to me, so I'm just wondering, do you want to sort of run this by me, exactly how this works?
I'll try and do it as best I understand it in layman terms. At the moment, the system is, you either have academy status, which you have to prove that you have facilities and the infrastructure and everything to go with it, or you're just a youth system in the old-fashioned terms of you have youngsters, they get to a certain age and you either sign them or they go off elsewhere. Or with the academy, you have to provide all the education for them, everything else that prepares them for life, not just, you know, practicing out a kick a ball on a football pitch. That's sort of a two-tier system in that respect. You either academy or you're not. And Ipswich have been an academy for years, been proud of it, and it costs £1.5 million a year, whatever it is, to run it. The new system is going to be along the lines of a four-tier system, where it'll all be different stages of it. The top tier, obviously, are your big clubs, right? Man City, where they're proposing to actually build right next to Eastland, or the Etihad, whatever it's called now. 15, 20 pitches. There's going to be a reserve stadium, which is going to hold about 15,000.
Dear me.
They're going to have all the education centre. They're going to have everything. It's literally going to be like a whole football college, as it were. And you're going to have, obviously, Man United will be with their, you know, another top teams that can afford it. That's going to cost a lot of money to do it, but you'll get the support and the help to, you know, with grants and with money from all the different sources. You've got the second tier, which is probably where Ipswich would fall into, which is the standard kind of academy that we have now, where you've got to have certain facilities, you've got to put a certain amount of investment in, but you'll get the help out. And in the third and the fourth, which will be below that, which would be the standard youth system, and then no youth system at all. Now, the problem is, what they're also proposing is they're going to get rid of this travelling rule, which at the moment, if you're of a certain age, you have to live within a certain distance.
Is it, I think it's 90 minutes.
It's 90 minutes of the club, which, of course, for us, well, you know, two directions is fine. South and east, it's south and west, sorry, we can pick up players. If we're looking north, we're looking east. We're struggling to kind of pick up
someone with a fast motorboat.
So that's sort of thing. Some players they can give us.
So that sort of thing will help us. And also, by other clubs lower down the pyramid not having the same facilities, not having the same infrastructure for youngsters, we'll be able to probably pinch their decent ones that are looking like they're going to, when they get to 14, 15, like they're going to do something good. We can kind of pinch them and say, come and join a proper academy that are going to develop you properly, as it were, so we can do that. But at the same time, they're changing at the moment. If you offer a player a contract that's equal or better than they're currently on, and they're under 24 years of age, and somebody else offers them a contract and they sign for that other team, they have to give you compensation, or it goes to tribunal. But there's money involved, and at the moment, like with Aaron Cresswell, arbitrary body, which is made up of a couple of representatives, the clubs make their cases, somebody who used to be a manager or involved in football, they all decide how much they think the two clubs, you know, the one that's signing the club should pay the one that's lost them.
In the case of Aaron Cresswell, we walk away smiling.
We do, because it's a decent deal. at the moment we've got Lavery, who's stalling on a contract we've offered him. If he goes elsewhere, then that other club will offer, will need to agree us and with us a fee, or somebody else will agree it for us based on where they think the player's going to progress and how much they think the club's likely to lose out on. They're thinking of kind of scrapping that, and it would just be like a set amount for how much you've developed them. So if you've had them a couple of years, you'll get X amount of money. If you've had them for 4 or 5 years, you'll have X amount more. It's not based on how good the player is, what the potential is, how much you've invested, just kind of how long they've been your player. So we would lose out in that respect on the likes of a Connor Wickham. He could stall on a contract rather than, fair enough, he signed for us and we got a nice bit of money for him. Yeah. But he could stall, he could wait for that big club to come along and sign, and we would get peanuts for him. Even if Connor Wickham had done that, at the moment we wouldn't have got 8 million going up to 12 certainly, but we probably would have got a decent sum for Connor because he had a decent name, had a decent, you know, reputation for his potential, is quite well known, and there's a lot of clubs that are interested in him, so we probably would have still got a decent compensation, not what we did get, but with the new system we would lose out on that. But it also means the opposite, we could pinch other teams, players from lower down the league if we think they're good enough, and not have to pay for them either. So this system's change, it's benefiting the top clubs. The main concern being Man City, with this brilliant idea of building a whole complex, literally kind of a school of football. Fantastic. These kids are going to get the best education of football. They're going to be educated with all their normal kind of GCSEs and everything else. But when are they actually going to play first team football?
I can see it.
When are they going to get into
it up and then just, you know, goes back to being loaned down and loaned down?
That's it.
It just becomes the same, sort of the same as if they'd have stayed in the league that they were and naturally progressed.
So the whole point of it's going to be developing these English youngsters. The only way you're going to ever develop footballers is by allowing them to play proper football.
Absolutely.
And this is what, you know, this is what has been said by Paul Jewell. He's not a fan of the reserve league. Well, people will argue different points with that.
We need that
reserve league as that step from youth level up to first team level. But he said he'd rather get them out on loan. Well, the whole difficulty is nobody's going to loan a player they don't know or don't feel up to it. Because if you're lower down in the leagues, you don't want to be taking 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds all the time. You want 22, 23-year-old or the old stalwart 32-year-old who can't get in the team anymore. You want experience, somebody who's ready to go in your team and change it. You don't really want to be developing somebody else's youngster unless they really are hot property. But this is the problem it's going to be. We've not got a proper reserve league structure, so these players, they're going to be trained up to perfection. They're going to be used to these brilliant facilities, and then they're going to hit a point where if they don't get in their first team, what happens to them then? And this is the future of England football as they think it should be. But if they don't actually play first team football, they're not going to get to the level where they're going to play for the England team.
Well, Gareth Southgate's in charge of it, so so I'm all in.
That's it. Well, we have. That's the ironic thing, you know, being a bit sarcastic. But like Gareth Southgate, you know, you think he's a decent enough bloke, and you've got David Sheepshanks who's going to run the National Football Centre. Well, whatever people think of him, he is a good football man. But are they really going to get the young talent emerging through? They're going to get to a certain point, and they'll just hit the same old buffer they always do, where they can't get in the first team of the team they're with. And we have a problem with that. We've had plenty of youngsters, and we have decent facilities. They have a lovely education. And then suddenly they go on loan, and they'll go down to League Two, and suddenly, washing kit?
Yeah.
What's this? You know, we've got to kick our own meals. We've got to travel to the games ourselves. You know,
jumpers for goalposts.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they do still clean seniors, pros boots now.
Yeah.
But that's not too bad when you get a few hundred, you know, got a couple of grand in your Christmas money.
Absolutely, I'd lick them clean.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, I don't know, it's nostalgic.
Yeah.
But they're not having the same sort of football education they did before, where they'd play reserve football, and if they didn't quite make the first team, then they'd be kicked out to a team for 6 months, prove their worth, get big and strong, and then come and play in the first team.
So apart from having shed loads of money, what do you do to have to be a Category 1 academy or whatever they're going to call it?
It is just the facilities and everything else. And the main part, obviously, is providing the education, providing the rounded.
Could Ipswich not be a Category 1?
We could. This is what we've, Simon Clegg has said they've got to look into. To get to Category 1 status, it's going to need investment from us, obviously, as a club, to because the facilities that we have got are great, but they're probably not quite to the standard that they would like for Category 1. Is it worth us spending the extra money for that, for the extra investment we'll receive back from doing it? And again, for a team at our level, that kind of middling team that, you know, in the Championship, trying to get into the Premier League. Once you're in the Premier League, that's fine.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
You can have two separate clubs. You can have the first team and the money and the investment, and you can have a youth side of it where you invest and you try and develop the future. When you're a club of our size and you're trying to get in the Premier League, it's all about the first team.
Mm.
And you hope that you get a few gems like a Connor Wickham come through the youth system every now and then. And unfortunately, even with Marcus Evans' investment, even with the backing that we have, we're still looking for that, you know, to sell that one player on every couple of years, yeah, that's going to pay for the pay for the investment. Our academy, as much as it costs each year, with all the players we sold, the Richard Wrights, Titus Bramble, Kieran Dyers, it's paid for itself over the years, certainly. So it's been worthwhile, but you've still got to have that little trickle of players. Once you're established and you've got the money to throw at it, then obviously you can do what Man City done. And it worries me because teams like ourselves, Southampton, Middlesbrough, who never had the biggest budgets but have always invested in youth and done really well out of it, will they bother? Will it be worth the extra investment to get all the best players in so they can continue that trend? Or will they just, you know, just go back to, well, it's all about the first team, we'll spend our money there?
I thought, I like the idea of having sort of a like a partner club, or I like the feed and the parent club system. Whereas
this is what makes me wonder about this country.
I thought Huddersfield were our partner club.
We have 92 league clubs.
We used to have Charlton about 10 years ago, and we used to feed them players.
And sure,
I like the idea of having a sort of maybe.
It's difficult because of the thing, you know, is if the two clubs then play against each other in some kind of form of competition. But why? You know, you're allowed to make, you know, kind of link ups with clubs abroad to send your players on loan.
Well, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see maybe a, I don't know, a Dutch club or a French club,
that's
probably
it.
In their second tier. I think that's a better way
but
to go.
But something that's more official, and you can have dual registration.
Yeah.
So the players can not flip, but players can play, and then they can suddenly come into your team. You don't have to worry that they go off on loan and you lose them for that 6 months, whatever happens to them.
Mm.
So you still have that kind of control, and you can, you know, you can swap coaches and you can do all that sort of thing, and that will help develop, because it's all about learning. And we've been out to Germany, we've been out to Spain to look at the way they do things out there. If you can partner up with these clubs, and even if it is a feeder system of sorts, it's going to be beneficial.
Yeah, if it's just a smaller club, and it, you know, in return we go and do a pre-season friendly, everyone wins.
So do you actually, is your gut feeling that we're going to be a Category 2?
I think that's where we lie at the moment, and have got to look at whether the extra investment it's going to cost is worth the extra bonuses we get for it, as it were, the extra investment we receive in return.
Our reputation as an academy is good. I mean, it's up there with, you know, Paz, certainly Crewe and those kind of teams.
That's it. Well, again, Crewe's a great example.
Mm.
Crewe have done it on a shoestring. They've done it through brilliant management. And Dario Gradi and his initial idea of this is the way we're going to do it. You know, we can't afford to play as, we're going to have to create our own. And they've done brilliant over the years, but they can't afford to invest in it. They can't spend any money on their youth system. So do they pack up and not bother anymore?
Mm.
Because it's probably better to not spend
$500,000
a million a year to run an academy, run a certain youth setup to get the benefits, or just put that money into the first team or just the club's funds overall.
Jackie Milburn, he's the one who kicked it off here, really, wasn't he? Years back.
But that's the school of thought now, and then you're going to have that widening gap with the haves and the have-nots, even more so than it is now. It's always been that case, obviously, since Premier League started and the Sky money came in, but it's going to be even more so now if the smaller clubs can't get there through building young teams and, you know, getting that momentum and just doing things the right way, as we like to say it.
And I suppose half the battle is trying to convince the kids that this is the best place to be.
Exactly.
Which we seem to do a reasonably good job of.
If you just said Crewe, you know, place to go and play football, people would be a bit... But if you said the youth system, everybody knows what a great reputation.
Yeah.
And you'd rather send, you'd rather send your kid to Crewe to, you know, develop in their youth system than go to one of the bigger clubs, one of the Premier League clubs,
Where
they're just
going to
be lost in the system.
Yeah.
And that's what we've managed to do.
It was a masterclass from David James. Well, thank you very much.
It's all very complicated.
It's a bit less murky for me because I found it all a bit complicated, all this.
And that's what Simon Clegg and Marcus Evans have got to look at. What's worth our.
So you do think there is the odd chance that they might even go for the Category 1 status?
There is an outside chance, but again, where we're at the moment, it's all about the first team. It's all about spending the money there, getting us into the Premier League.
What about clubs like the name I can't mention, you know, that lot up there, you know, the double-headed ones?
They're probably similar to us, but not with as good a reputation, obviously not quite, maybe not as strong a setup.
So you think they'd be a two, like us?
Four,
absolutely.
But again, for a team like that, if they wanted to establish themselves in the Premier League and all the rest of it, you know, where do you spend your money?
Mm.
Where's worth the long-term investment that, you know, 5-10 years down the road, you're going to have a production line of talent coming through your team, or do you spend the money on the team now?
Yeah. Right. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Especially in our position, because they want to get the priority to get up first and then look at it.
That's it. If you're establishing the Premier League, then you can probably put aside that money. You can say, right, we can budget.
So presumably if you did get up and you're a Category 2, you could then change to a Category 1 once you're there.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure there's, you know, you can change between a change of criteria.
Interesting stuff, Mr. Bond.
We've all learned something.
Yeah, we have, yeah. That's been a masterclass, as I say. Right, you've got a couple of minutes to talk about Nottingham Forest away. What do you think? It's not that bad a game, is it? Blimey, it's not playing Barcelona.
No, it's a tough one because they started off really well.
And they have a decent record at home. Well, they've had it for the last year or so, haven't they?
Maybe the break might have done us well.
Well, it didn't do us any good last time because we were doing well before the break. This time it might work the other way around.
This time we've done the opposite. We picked up a result and a half sort of thing, but didn't really play it at all well the last three games. So,
are you going to go?
No.
Oh, Mr. James.
No.
Where are you going?
I'm not. No.
You're not going anywhere?
Not going anywhere. No? I'm going to stop at them.
Oh, bless. Is it the missus?
Well, yeah.
Under the thumb.
Applying the pressure. It's getting to that time of the year, isn't it? Christmas shopping and
take it to Nottingham. It's a nice city. You can get
very
some,
nice city.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some nice bars there as well.
There is. Well, but you could go to the bars before the football, so you can go shopping.
I think it's a great away day.
I've
done it a few times.
Yeah, I have.
I've done a year up there for university and went.
Oh, were you uni up there?
Went to the grounds and stuff. It's certainly Forest Ground is such a blast from the past.
It's nice.
It's exactly how it looks like when you're watching it in black and white highlights and that kind of stuff. You know, there's holes in the ground and
a scoreboard that doesn't show the score ever. Adverts after adverts.
They've changed managers. We know about Steve Cottrell. He knows how to beat Town when he's at Pompey, and they've got some decent players. Forest are always tricky up there, but it's. We've had a break, and I hope we're refreshed, and I hope we try and really go at them.
Well, yeah, can't be any worse. Quick predictions, then. Literally, you've got a few seconds.
Score draw.
Go on, come on, Joe. 4-0, said last time?
I did. That was Millwall. Millwall was an embarrassing
moment. And it nearly
was. If we play the way I've written down, we'll win 2-1. We can't keep a clean sheet, Christ. We will never keep a clean sheet for a while. So, yeah, 2-1, but an optimistic 2-1.
Okay.
Take a point and we'll be happy.
I think I'll go for the draw. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Okay. All right, thanks everyone for listening. Until next week, have a good one. Thanks to David. Thanks to Joe. Bye-bye.